us. Let us hear your voice, Lord. It's the greatest thing that a person can receive is to hear you speak to us, Lord, and see that word then manifest in our lives, Father. It's what we're here for. There's nothing else as important right now, Lord, is to hear you. So, Father, if you would just use this vessel to speak, if you will please use our hearts to hear, Father, because you can speak all day long, but if we don't have ears to hear and a heart to receive it, Lord, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good. But, Father, you've given us these ears to hear. We do have eyes to see. We can see the word manifest among us, Lord. So this morning, take us a step closer to you. Pull us, draw us nigh to you, Father, than closer than ever before. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. 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 We're going to read out of Matthew 27. Several verses there. Verse 38. Matthew 27 and 38. I'm sorry, verse 39 is where we're going to start. Verse 39. Matthew 27:39, it says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Drop down to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city, appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Let me have a seat this morning. So we see here what happened, of course, Jesus hanging on the cross, and he had made the claims that he made, and he had done the works that he did, and they didn't want to receive him. They did not want this man to be their Messiah. They did not want him to be who was going to come and save them, and so they got rid of him. They tried to destroy him by killing him, and then to prove to themselves that they were right, because they knew in their hearts that this was a holy man. This was a man sent from God. Nicodemus came to him and said, "We know you're a man sent from God." But they did not want to accept him. And so what they did when they had him on the cross, they were taunting him. They were trying to get him, prove it. Because they're proving to themselves that this could not be the Christ. Satan was in them doing this because Satan was trying to figure out, is this really the one? Because there's so many things about his life that it looked like it could be, but it couldn't be, because he would not allow himself to hang on a cross and die, because we know that his kingdom lasts forever. There's no way he could die, so it can't be the Son of God. You can't kill the Son of God. We have all the Old Testament proving that the Son of God, you know, his kingdom is elastic eternally, so if we kill him, it can't be him. And they're trying to prove to themselves, they're taunting him and proving that they were right in rejecting him. He had to be some kind of false prophet, right? But then what happened? God forced them to acknowledge that it was him. When? After it was too late. They were saying, "If you're be the Son of God, come down and prove who you are." You know, that's not him. He could save others. He can't even save himself. Surely if God wanted him, he would save him, but he didn't. And then when it was too late, after it was recognized, after they saw what happened when he died, then they said, "Oh, truly, this was the Son of God. What have we done? What have we done?" But it always happens after it's too late. Every age is this way, friends. You know, Brother Branham talked many times how the Catholic Church burned Joan of Arc. And then 100 years later, whatever, 150 years later, they said, "Oh, she really was a holy woman. So now we're going to do penance." After it was too late. This is when the world recognizes it, after it's too late, friends. And this is the same in this age. And so today what I want to do is I'm going to ask the question of what I'm going to call this: if thou be the bride of Christ. Now, you know who says that? Satan. He comes to you every day, doesn't he? He says, "If you're really born again, If you really are the bride, if you are, prove it to me. That's what we want to look at. If you truly are the bride of Christ, and then the answer is going to come after it's too late. And those same people are going to say, that truly was the bride. You really were. But it's going to be too late for them at that time. Brother Branham said, their souls in prison now. Impossible to be saved. What a horrible place and what a great place. So we claim to be the bride. Everyone claimed to be the bride, right? That makes you target number one for the devil, right? Especially if you're a message believer, because Satan's smart enough to know the bride, if there's a bride on earth, it's got to come out of the message. I mean, it's got to be the message believers are where it's got to come from. He can look around and see, obviously, the other churches, they don't have it. They don't see the white for this day. And so he knows it's got to be us. So then he has a right to come to you personally and challenge you on your claim. Says, Paul Mast, you claim to be the bride of Christ? Let me challenge you on that. You prove it to me. Prove it to me. Isn't that what he did to Jesus at temptation in the wilderness? He pulls him out. The Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. Think about that. Satan didn't bring Jesus out there. The Holy Spirit took him out there. He said, now it's time for you to be tempted. You have to go through some hardship here, right? And so Satan came up to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. So Satan had seen him doing some things. He said, he had seen his birth. He saw his baptism and all that. And right after that, now this was before Jesus had been doing any kind of signs and wonders or anything like that. Remember that. He had just been baptized. He received the Holy Spirit. And right away, it took him into the wilderness. And so he's saying, well, let's see if this is really this guy, because I saw his strange birth. I saw all the things that going on. Let's find out. He said, now prove it. Do some miracles. Show me. Prove to me who you are. Satan never come to you and says, if you got so much power, if you say that you have the Holy Spirit in you, do some miracles. What's the last time you did a miracle, Brother Jimmy? I'll tell you one miracle you did. You came to church this morning. Don't tell me that ain't a miracle. As hard as Satan tries to keep us out of church, yes, sir. But that's what he did. And Jesus, of course, didn't clown for him. He said, well, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down off this and throw thyself out. If thou be, Satan is always coming in every age. He's always coming to the people who claim to be believers. He sees something different about it. He said, try to push that button. Prove who you are. Prove who you are. Prove who you are. I got to see something. Show who you are. You know how he does this a lot of times? It's your family. It's your coworkers. It's your neighbors. It's people come and say, well, I had this one person. Well, you're sure not living your life, the way you claim, or you're not doing this, and I thought you were a Christian, and all this kind of, they see your mistakes, and it makes them feel good. Because if they see you living a different kind of life, a little bit more holy or more consecrated, and you're religious and all this, and then they see you make a mistake or you lose your temper, you do this kind of stuff, yeah, okay, you're like everybody else. What does it do? It's the same ones. They're taunting him on the cross. If you be the Christ, come on down. If you be the Son of God. And they're saying, see, you're just like me. I don't even go to church. I still don't lose my temper like you do. Just Satan trying to prove to them, these people proving to themselves, justifying their behavior because they know that you're different. That's what that's all about. It's Satan trying to identify the word, because if he can identify who you are, if you are the bride, then he can do what he can to try to stop you. Because this is what he has to disrupt God's program in order to stop the rapture. And if he can disrupt his program through stopping you from getting you discouraged, getting you to quit going forward, getting you to walk away, doing whatever, then he can slow down God's program. He can't stop it completely, but he can sure try to stop it, right? So Brother Branham says, look at the arch enemy met Jesus Christ. He first met him. He didn't go with him some roundabout way. He met Jesus out there and said, now where is his weak spot? Now, at this point, it was his stomach, right, because he's been fasting. He said, if thou be the Son of God, I want you to perform a miracle for me. I know the scriptures. I want you to perform a miracle. Tell me what you are, this miracle healer, this miracle worker. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, then I'll believe you. That's all he's doing. He looks for your weak spot. Does he ever come to your weak spot? He does. Every one of us have weak spots. Some of us have more than others. And that's exactly where Satan attacks us, because if he can get you to heed him and to do what he wants you to do, then you're doing what Jesus refused to do, is do what he asked you to do. But if someone comes, if I have, we said my weak spot is my impatience, right? And so Satan comes to me and he gets me frustrated and I kind of snap at somebody. He said, see, proven who you are. If you are the bride of Christ, don't get impatient. But you got impatient. You're doing what I ask you to do. You're proving to me that you're not really it, and you're proving to you that you're not really that. Because then what happens? You feel condemned, right? I hope you do. When we do something we're not supposed to do, we feel condemned, and it's like, oh my goodness, if I was born again, would I really be doing that? Dumb question. You don't go by that to prove if you're born again or not, friends. It's not if you don't make mistakes. Because if you ever get to the point of not making mistakes, you have a new body. Right? So don't listen to Satan come to you and give you that kind of junk. Well, I should really be I should have overcome this by now. Of course you should. But if you haven't, quit worrying about it and keep going until you do. Don't listen to the devil. He says, well, I'll believe you if you do it. It's not true. Look at all the miracles that performed in Brother Branham's ministry, and look at all the people looked at it and walked away. Just because Satan sees it, just because unbelievers or make-believers see signs and wonders, doesn't mean it. That's what he's doing right now around the message so much. He's trying to get people to go back to 1906 Pentecost, which is the restoration of the gifts. We're doing miracles. We have speaking in tongues and signs and wonders and shouting and dancing and all these things, which is all necessary. It's wonderful, but none of that proves that you're the bride of Christ today. None of it does, because Satan's kids do that too. Get on YouTube and look at all the churches around here where they're doing all that kind of stuff, and not even a level of holiness at all among them. You can tell they're not believers. They're not born again. But they can still perform all these miracles and signs and wonders. They sure can. They can raise the dead. They can do anything that anyone else can do. It doesn't prove anything. Where are the miracles? Where's the manifestation word? You can't. He said, you know, you can't even overcome your own attitude. You can't even get along with yourself. You can't even get along with your wife. You can't even do this, and, you know, you got all this going on. Listen to him if you want. He's just going to weaken you. It ain't going to do you a bit of good to listen to that lies, because all you want to do what Jesus did. He showed us how to do it. When Satan came to tempt him, he did not use his miracles. He did not try to prove anything. He did not prove anything. He just took him back to the Word and said, this is what the Word says about me. This is what the Word says about me. So you know how you answer Satan? Satan says, come to me and prove it. If you're the bride of Christ, he says, Satan, if you want to know who I am, search the Scriptures. They tell you who I am. The Scriptures tell you that I'm the bride of Christ. The Scriptures tell me that I'm the bride of Christ. So you just go to the Word for this day, and it identifies who you are. Friends, the token on display is your identification. The token on the is your identification. What is that token, friend? It's the life of Christ living through you. Well, what is the life of Christ? He performed miracles. He did perform miracles, but there's a lot more to it than that. He fulfilled the word that was written for him for his day. There's the token on display. It's the word that's written for the bride of Christ. When you can look at that word, it's in the Bible, it's in the message, and you can see it manifesting through your life. You say, that's the token on display. It's what God has said the bride will do today. Now, if you look at your life and it's not there, don't pretend it is. Get it. You don't have to sit there and say, well, I sure hope it is. I don't know if this is it or not. Well, friend, you have to know it is. You're never going to get rapture in faith if you don't know who you are. That's why Brother Bram said, when the bride realizes who she is, then the rapture goes. And friends, you can have all kinds of manifestations and all kinds of religion. You can do all kinds of good works. And so many people are going to stand on judgment day and be condemned. They say, we did all this stuff in your name. You were in our streets and all this kind of, you know what I'm talking about. I'm stumbling here. But all these things that they said, we cast out devils in your name, we went to church, we dressed right, we believed the message, we did all this. How can you say that I'm not, that I wasn't a believer? How come I wasn't raptured? Because the token, the word for your day wasn't there. You just got religious. You have to do the supernatural, but the supernatural fulfills the word. Everyone is not going to perform miracles. Everyone's not going to cast out devils. Everyone's not going to do all these. Everyone's not going to preach. Everyone's going to do these things. But there is something that God has for you to do, and you must do that. You must fulfill the word he has for you. But there is something he are going to do. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. There it is. That's how people know, because they see that you have love. Now, I'm not talking about the world's idea of love where you're just nice to people. I'm not talking about being nice. Love a lot of time is not nice at all. Brother Jerry preached on that a little while back. You know, love is corrective, right? And so love... the love of Jesus loves your enemies. Brother Bram said the right kind of love loves a man who would kill you if he could. Now, do you have that kind of love in your life? See, that's what it is, because that's not something you work up. It's not just because this guy's your buddy, or that you like this sister or whatever, or it's not just, well, I'm a Christian, I have to be nice to this person. That ain't it, friends. It's something that just comes out of you. You don't even control it. You just love this person because something inside you loves. It's the nature in you loves. That's why, and that plays itself out. You can see that. I can speak. This is what I have seen it so many times, friends, when through my life, other people's life, in a situation where people do something that they should be hated. They should be, you should treat them a certain way, but something inside you just takes over, and you just love that person. You treat them right. You treat them the way they need to be treated, even though they're treating you horrible. Or you're standing on and say, friend, you can't have that. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong thing to say. You can't be talking like that about this person. What is it? It's the love of God coming out of you and bringing correction and bringing love and just manifesting something that's beyond your human nature. It's powerful, friends. Oh, I hope you've experienced it over and over, because it makes a difference. And then people, they might not like you, but they're going to recognize there's something weird about you, because that's not the way a human being acts. Boy, that's powerful. They might not even recognize that it's a good thing. They might not recognize. They might hate you for it, because your love actually exposes the darkness that they don't have, that love. And they will speak against you. They'll say things bad against you, because I'm talking about the religious people. Now, the non-religious, they're fine with it, right? But I'm talking about religious people, and they see something real in your life that they don't have, and they're going to say something again about you, because it's exposing the darkness where they should have love. Brother Bram says, if it's got to be quoted just the way he said it, talking about the word. He said, if it's quoted right, he'll vindicate it to be so in your life. But we got to get the word right, right? Because otherwise you're mixing the seed, and if you're mixing the seed, you're going to have a hybrid religion. He said, that's how all men know your written epistles, read of God. Written epistles is his Bible. Is that right? An epistle is the Bible, and you're a written Bible reflecting his word. That's perfect man again in God. That perfect man again in God. Oh, my, I'm glad the prophet said that, because it's hard for me to say that, but it's still the truth. When you are that written epistle, you are a perfect man in God. Not talking about your flesh. Please, please take your eyes off your flesh. Quit looking at your flesh. Quit looking at your mistakes. Friends, you'll always be just beat down. You'll always have this doubt. But when you can recognize that something inside you is controlling you, it's bringing this old flesh into subjection more and more and more every day. And you can look back a year ago and see where you were then and see where you are now. If you cannot see that you've come a certain way, spiritually speaking, oh, I've overcome this, I quit making all my mistakes. No, no, and no. What you have done is you've grown in the character of Christ, and his faith is stronger, his love is stronger, and you believe more who you are now than you ever have. You're growing in Christ, brother and sister, and all these things of the world, you make your mistakes, you repent, and you know from your heart the desire is that I don't want to do that. Why? Because you're not finding an excuse to go and do that. You're not finding let me just go and do this for a little bit. And yes, we make those mistakes. And you say, well, if you really love, no, friends, it's the old flesh. You are fighting a very strong enemy. He has leashed 200 million demons against you. The bride of Christ. That's a lot of demons. Is it any wonder we go through the day and our mind is just turmoil, tore up all the time, all these thoughts, all this stuff, and after a while we find ourselves thinking of the wrong thing, and you start getting an attitude, it starts affecting your emotions. You all know what I'm talking about. Your emotions start feeling a certain way about this and that. He said, where is that coming from? Well, we'll be way back here, this thought come in, and it seemed so harmless at the time, and you just thought about this a little bit and a little bit more, and after a while, you're just full, all tore up about something. It's not even real. It doesn't even exist. If thou be the bride of Christ, why are you getting all tore up about that? Well, because you gave me that thought, and I was dumb enough to listen. That's what it's about. You know my weak point. You know what gets me fired up. But it's such a simple, simple way that God wants to do this. And we stumble over the simplicity. Satan stumbles over the simplicity. That's how he said, it can't be that simple. This bunch of people be part of the bride of Christ? Come on. We stumble over the same. It's just too simple. Just have the right attitude towards God, towards the Word. Believe what he says. And when we doubt, that's the wrong attitude. That's all it is. So what did God want us to do? He wants to humble ourselves, first of all. And you know how you humble yourself? The first thing you do, you stop protecting yourself. Because we are all good at protecting ourselves. You know how you know if you protect yourself? Someone says something to you, you got to snap back at them, right? You feel that thing rise up inside of you. You just got to put you in your place. You ain't going to talk to me that way. That's protecting yourself, right? We do it a lot of different ways. We all have our ways we do it, and the things that pushes our buttons. Stop it. Allow yourself to be humiliated, to be embarrassed, to be reproached, to be belittled. Oh, nobody likes that. I don't care who you are. So we surrender to God's will. You say, God allowed that person to say that. You know what road rage is about? Someone disrespected me because they cut me off. How dare they? Now, sometimes it's about safety. I'm not saying that, someone driving unsafe and you can get like, hey, you almost hurt someone. You almost got a wreck, I'm not going to talk about that, but when it's just, so much road rage, when people let loose that, you're not going to do that, and then they're running at each other, it's stupid. It's just protecting yourself, your pride, your ego. Surrender to God's will. God allowed that to happen. I mentioned many times when I get on using computers, we do everything on computer at work, and a lot of times the computers just don't work, That technology is not perfect. There's demons in technology. And that's one of the things that will get me fired up quicker than anything else. And I get like, oh, my goodness, come on. I'm just frustrated at a computer. Well, that's still not the way to do it. Why am I getting frustrated? Where's my patience? And God has rebuked me numerous times, said, don't do that. Don't react that way. I'm using a simple thing like that that doesn't even matter. It's going to be fixed. It doesn't matter, and you're letting yourself get fired up over something like that. Stop it. Then I can try you on something more important. If I can't even handle a computer frustration, what am I going to do with something that matters? Surrender to God's will. Just simple stuff like that, friends. And when God wants to shut Satan up, he can use you to do it. If he can't trust me with a little bit of impatience with the computer, he can't use me to shut up Satan. He can't use me to do what he wants me to do, to prove to Satan. Because, see, God proves who you are. It's not your job to prove who you are. That token on display is not you displaying the token. It's you out of the way so God can display the token. It's not you. Well, I'm going to go out and live such a good life. I'm going to love people. just quit. Just quit. Or go to a church where they preach that. We don't preach that here. That's not the Bible. You get out of the way, and God uses you to demonstrate, to manifest the word for his hour. You can't do it on your own, friends. God doesn't want you to help him. Don't even try to help. Well, God, you and I, we're going to get this right. Okay. You're going to find yourself out there doing it by yourself because God said, I ain't playing with you. I'm not using you and your efforts. You need to just put that down and let me take over. Let me take full control. Then he does things that just blows your mind. My, it's amazing. Jesus matched every prophecy, every design of Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New. He matched everything. Let me say this with godly fear and respect, but love, but sincerity of knowing where I'm standing. The message of this hour has matched everything the Bible spoke of for this hour. All right? That's what the message is for, so we would know the word that the bride must manifest today. He said, notice. Now, let me just read that last sentence. The message of this hour has matched everything the Bible spoke of for this hour. Now, what does he talk about? He says, notice, bearing his reproach. Because he was the vindicated word as then, so is he now. So if he starts out by saying, the message matches the word for this hour, bearing his reproach. He was the vindicated word. And when you become the vindicated word, you must bear reproach because the word, the world will come against you, the religious world, the everyone, Satan hates you when you are the vindicated word because you're the light of the hour and the darkness hates the light. And so the darkness comes against you. If you want to be this bride of Christ, you had to bear his reproach because everyone who lives godly is going to be persecuted for what you believe. Are you willing to bear that reproach to be the vindicated word? Bearing his shame of the gospel, bearing his name. Again, he says, bearing the reproach of the word. That's what it means, friends. If you want to be the bride of Christ, you got to bear a shame. You got to bear his reproach. You got to be humiliated. You got to put up with all the stuff that people throw against you. And when you do that, then your life will prove who you are. Because that's what Jesus did. He bore the reproach of who he was. He says, always carry it out of their camp. Say, turn it out. You'll be laughed at, made fun of. We don't really want this. We don't want God to use us to prove it. We don't want to be the proof. Our old nature doesn't. But when you get to that point where you die to yourself and he uses you, there is nothing. What is greater than seeing God making his word manifest through you? Proves who you are. Because the benefits far outweigh whatever shame and reproach you got to bear. Oh my. He said, I think God hastened the day that when we, as Christians who believe this Bible, can prove what we are talking about. That's what makes, as said a while ago, the salt of the earth. That's right. The world is looking for this salt. And when we can prove by our lives, by the Bible, that our lives are vindicating that word to be living today, that's the day we're looking for. Isn't that it? I mean, what's the point of being a believer? What's the point of going to church? What's the point of being religious if all we are we're just religious? We dress right. We follow the right rules. We say the right quotes. We do nice things for people. It doesn't satisfy you, friends. If you have that seed inside you that needs to be satisfied, there's got to be a purpose. You had to find your purpose, friends. If you never find the purpose God has for your life, is empty. You just chase entertainments. You chase religion. You chase this and doing this. You're looking for something to satisfy that. Without that purpose being satisfied, you live and you die, and it's like life just didn't measure up. I know what I'm talking about there, friends. I've lived for years trying to find something without getting that right purpose. It's a miserable way to live because that seed inside you is saying, I need to live. I got to come to life. He said there were thousands there that had obeyed an hour past, but there was a present tense hour. That was the hour that Jesus was to appear. There stood the word. There stood the people. And here was the manifestation of God taking place to vindicate that that was the truth. It's a present tense hour. That means a present tense word. It's got to be more than just, well, I believe the prophet. I'm just a good person. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That ain't it, friends. It's a present tense hour. So Satan is good at mimicking this, getting people to believe who we are, especially message believers, of course. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the denominations. We know that that's completely dark. Brother Branham said, oh, that's the light has gone completely out. So among our message churches, what Satan tries to do is get us to mimic it, get a false evidence of who we are. He said, being a well-trained theologian had nothing to do with it. Well, that throws out half the message believers because their confidence is in that they know the message. They know the mysteries. It's a doctrine they believe. It's their theology. And they love sitting around and talking about it and discussing it and arguing about it. They get online and they throw these ideas back and forth to each other. It's just theology. Who cares? That's how Satan got even at the beginning, knowledge. She wanted knowledge. She lusted for knowledge, and human beings still lust for knowledge, friends. If that's all the message is, it's just knowledge, and we believe it this way, we believe this, and we're smarter than you because we believe more, and we're more spiritual because we see more light. That's just theologian. He said, had nothing to do with it. He said, being meek and gentle had nothing to do with it. Well, there's the rest of the message believers, right? Well, I just live a good, humble, holy life, and I'm nice to people, and I'm just... Nothing to do with it. Not a little bit. Nothing. So your theology don't get you there. Being a meek and gentle person has nothing to do with it, friends. See how Satan can get us? Well, look how that person treated me bad, and now I was so nice to them. Y'all see what I did? Y'all see that, how nice I was? Yeah, okay, Pharisee. And if we don't, even if we don't say that, we think it. Well, I really handled that situation good. Yeah, I showed that person, yeah. Soft answer, turn with a wrath. Yeah. Pharisee needs to repent. Don't tell me you don't take some pride sometime in how we act like that. But when you see God doing it, it don't puff you up at all. It humbles you because you recognize that was God doing that through me. Oh, that's awesome. Being meek and gentle had nothing to do with it. What made him different? He was the Word made flesh. That's what it comes. I mean, I know I've preached this all. That's what it is. But to recognize the word for today, it's got to be today. What is the bride supposed to be doing today? He said, well, what is it? That's you, the individual. It's you and God. He gives you the word that he wants you to manifest. Because the word he gives me to manifest is not the word he gives you to manifest. It's got to be what he wants Gene Berryhill to manifest. He wants Cindy Roberts to manifest. This is what we have to do, friends. We have to find out our purpose. This is the individual word, and it's going to be in the Bible. It's going to be the message. It's not going to be off the word. Why? We're not a group. He don't rapture us as a group. He raptures us as individuals who are fulfilling the word. The groups are saying, didn't we do this? Didn't we have you in church? Didn't I go to a message church? Didn't we preach the gospel? Didn't we have all the signs and wonders in our midst? He said, I didn't know you. What does that mean? As an individual, he didn't know you as an individual, as a just you and him together. He was the Word made flesh, not the word of the day for Moses, not the word of the day for Noah, not the word of the day for Elijah. He was a present tense word, and they were living in the back. The same thing repeats. People still want to live with Brother Branham, and he did this. You know, you know, people love, like Brother Billy Paul, he's passed on, right? But he would go and give all these testimonies about what Brother Branham did. Wonderful. What about today? What about the evidence today? What about what is God doing today? Where's the testimony of that? If we have to look 60 years ago and there's nothing wrong, I love to hear it. I mean, that's why we read the Bible. It happened 2,000 years ago. But why do we do that? It's to see what's supposed to be happening today, not just give glory to God what he did 2,000 years ago. We can give glory to God what he did through the prophet, but what is happening today? Without that, we're just living in the past. He said, that's the same thing repeats. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost when God reveals to you and you see it. Thus saith the Lord, and accept it. Not what you are, what you was, or nothing about it. It's what God has done for you now. That's the evidence. You say, well, 20 years ago, I had a great experience at the altar with the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. You should thank God for that every day. And if you're still living on that experience, you're dead. Because you live on the experience for today. What he did for you today. What he did for you yesterday. What he did for you today. What's going on right now? What word are you claiming? Are you believing that he spoke to you? He said, this I'm doing in your life. And you're claiming that right now. You haven't seen it happen. But every one of us, brother and sister, there's promises that God has spoke to you individually. He said, I'm doing this in your life. And you're holding on to that promise. You're going forward. You're walking into that. See, the next thing God wants to do. Brother Bram said something like this. He said, God wants to get to you to be able to do something for you. He's looking for the opportunity to do something for you. We get too busy. Too busy. He gives us the evidence of the Holy Ghost. John 14, he said, I have many things to tell you. Haven't got time to do it, but when the Holy Ghost comes, he will tell you, bring to your memory the things that I told you about. We'll show you things that's to come. Don't you see? There's the evidence. What is it? When you can be taught by the Word, the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to bring it to your memory. It's all these things. It's the Holy Spirit taking the Word and teaching you the present tense Word. There's your evidence. You want to know if you're a bride of Christ? I'm being taught by the Word. Not as a theology. It's being revealed to you, and it's manifesting itself. That's what it is. Do you have eyes to see this? Satan's trying to get you to prove it. Satan's trying to say, will you know, do this or do that. He comes to us all. If you were really the bride of Christ, would you be doing that? Would you be doing that? Trying to bring condemnation. This is what, let me finish up here. He said, in faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, off somewhere, see, it's individual. It's not the church here, the church there. It's the person here or there. Some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, wherever they're at. Believes the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She's watching for it. She is part of that word. She is watching for her life to manifest that word. He didn't say she's out there trying to produce it. She's out there trying to manufacture it. He said she's watching for her life to manifest the word. And here it is. It's so simple. Sometimes God's doing it, and it just goes right over our head because it's so simple. He says, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be something more. Where's the signs and wonders? Where's the miracles? Where's the fireworks? Where's all these mighty manifestations? Just get this simple part here. We'll come to more of that. It's going to come whatever we need. Are we watching it manifest right now? He said, brother, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. That you're just your life. You're watching in humility and obedience for the word to manifest. The body is waiting, which is what he said, the body, which is the word, is waiting for the life, which is a spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. So we're waiting here. All this word we've been preached, oh, we've all been around the message for years, and we've heard it preached and all this, but we're waiting to see the life come more and more. It grows slowly. Just, you know, it's been likened to a fruit or a wheat in the field. It doesn't come to life. It doesn't come to manifestation or a ripeness overnight. You walk into it slowly day by day, and that's what's happening, friends. We are waiting patiently, obedient, humility, and simplicity, waiting for this life to take over, confirm who you are. Let that life confirm. It's not me confirming to the devil. It's me quoting, taking the word that God gave me and said, Satan, this is what Jesus Christ told me. You don't like it? Go talk to him about it. It's not my idea. I didn't call myself to this. I didn't choose myself. I didn't give myself to the Holy Spirit. I didn't open my own eyes. It's him doing all of it. If you can see this, recognize that only if God, if you are elect, can you even see what you're seeing. No one else can see it but the elect. So if you can see the light for your day, recognize that, and that makes you elect. Satan, if I'm not the bride of Christ, how come I see what I'm seeing? And then leave that old guy alone. Don't argue with him. Don't fuss with him. Don't sit there and try to prove to him. You had nothing to prove to him. Just give him the scripture and let him gag on that. Said, that's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in here. She can't come to life any other way. She feels it out there. She knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. Then she wakes up. Oh, that's amazing. You know there's something out there, and you're waiting for it. You feel it. You know there's something happen, and then it happens, and you wake up. And God speaks to you, said, I told you you were mine. I told you I was going to give you the Holy Ghost. I told you that you're going to be born. I told you you're bride. I've been telling you all this time. If you would just humble yourself and just wait for me to bring it to pass. God said, let there be. She came forth like the first one come forth. There it is. My. It's that simple, friends. You want to go in the rapture? It's that simple. If you don't go in the rapture, it's because you made it too difficult. Well, it's got to be something more than that, Brother Phil. Not according to the prophet. That's how you do it. You believe what God shows you. You wait for him to confirm it. Amen. Two more quotes. So look, don't worry. A showdown's coming. Going to prove who you are. Satan said, if thou be the bride of Christ, prove it. You say, hang on, old boy. God's getting ready to prove it. There's a showdown coming. It's called the Mount Zion Showdown. It's the rapture. The rapture is going to prove who was and who wasn't. I love this quote. Led away with divers lust and saying, it's all right. Oh, they're crazy out there. Don't pay no attention. They're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And these men resisted it as Jambres and Jannes withstood Moses. Remember, these are the people who are so close they deceive the very elect if it's possible. We're talking about message believers here. It's easy to look out at the world and say, yeah, this, no, they're not deceiving at all. Message believers as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Able to produce a church, produce a group of people. Message churches all over. People sitting in message churches, and sometimes the pastor is absolutely born again and going to the rapture, and the people in the church are not going on with the word because they have their own ideas. He said, but their folly will be made manifest when Jesus takes his bride, sets her up here, and said, this is her, and away he goes with her. That's right, their folly will be made known. So listen to what he says. We got all these people, all these churches, all these groups, they can produce churches, they can produce miracles, they can produce everything. So close, it will deceive the very elect. But then Jesus takes his bride, he sets her up and said, this is her. What's he going to do? He's going to be a short, powerful work. He says, after a short, powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little 100 persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. He's going to prove the very works, the very power. What is it? It's the manifestation of the third pull into full effect. Come to maturity. Brother Branham says it's going to come when the squeeze comes on. That squeeze is the 100 persecuted bride, and it's going to be a short, powerful work, and he's going to demonstrate, he's going to prove who the bride is. Say, this is her. This is who it is. This is who it all was all along. And you're going to let the world and the message believers, everyone's going to see her just to a short, just a flash. They say, oh my goodness, look at that. Look what's going on in that person's life. Oh, my goodness, look, this is the real thing. I don't have this. The voice goes out, the bridegroom cometh, and everyone wakes up. The foolish virgin says, uh-oh, I don't have that. I got to get it. The bride leaves, and she's sitting here for the tribulation period. Horrible time to be here. There'll never be there will never be on this earth, never has been, never will be after that, a time so horrible to be a human being, a Gentile in that time. He'll be dealing with the Jews, 3.5 years dealing with the Jews. Gentiles will be in hell on earth. What would you trade? What would you give exchange for your soul? He's going to prove. He's going to prove to this world. He's going to prove to the foolish virgins. He's going to prove to you all this. He's going to prove exactly. This is her. This little person here, this little person there, this little person there. And you say, well, I sat on that same pew with that person for the last 30 years at church, and they're bright and I'm not. It's going to be countless situations. Like how many? I have no idea. But how many people, they're going to a really good church right now. The people are born again, the pastor, the ministry, all that, and yet they're sitting there and they're comfortable and they're not moving on. God's going to prove it one day. I've heard said many times, and I totally believe it. When that time comes, our message churches are going to fill up. People are going to be flocking. It's going to be too late. Let's stand. Boy, that's a sad place to start, to stop. Because here's it. Let's look at the positive. Because He's going to prove to you, he's going to prove to Satan. Satan's saying, well, you're not born again. You're not the bride. You're not the bride. You got to go and throw it in Satan's face. This is my bride. Acknowledge it. You're going to know that. Satan's going to have to acknowledge it. Yep, that was her. Why? Because she's going in a rapture, and she got the life of Christ right there, that third pull on display in effect, and it's going to prove to everyone, truly, that is the bride of Christ. And one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he was the Son of God. And you know who's going to be sitting beside him on the throne when they do that? You. Because when they confess that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of God, the bride's going to be there. And she was the bride of Christ. Because he wants you right there to share in all his glory. Oh, my. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful time. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and speak to us this morning, Lord. Thank you for just taking your word and opening it up and just showing us again who we are, Father. Just a little bit more. We took a step closer to you today. Thank you for the anointing to speak this, Lord, to give me the clearness of mind, Lord Jesus, just to bring the word that you once said. I'm thankful that I had hearts to speak to that, Lord, that we're receiving, that recognizing it and accepting what you said about them, Lord, and believing it, Lord, casting out all doubts, all shadows, all unbelief, and just taking you at your word. Father, help us to recognize the humility, the simplicity that you work in our lives. Help us to recognize the simple things that you do to get us to believe, Father, to take us forward just a little at a time, Lord, and not let our eyes be blinded by the glares and the different things Satan throws at us, but always, Father, just to keep focus on you. Father, you've given us all promises. You've given us things to believe. I pray that each one of us would acknowledge those things and walk forward believing these things as individuals, Father, as individuals that you want for us, Lord. Will you touch each heart here, Father? We'll go with this as we leave here. Watch over us, Father. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I love you, my Lord, with all